When an approaching storm may produce tornado activity, a tornado watch is issued by your ESSA Weather Bureau to inform your community. During the watch, observers keep a careful lookout for the development of a tornado funnel. During this period of alert, your radio is a vital link to official Weather Bureau and public safety information. Keep it turned on during a tornado watch as a safeguard, and plan ahead for possible emergency measures for your family. Tornado emergencies, office buildings, and factories should have a well-rehearsed plan of action. Your ESSA Weather Bureau recommends that workers be sheltered against inside walls, preferably below ground level. Auditoriums and areas with windows should be avoided. In last-minute situations, a desk will serve for cover. If there is a radio available, keep it turned on. Remember, there is no substitute for advanced planning.
out there. Is there anybody out there?
Billy Joe grew restless on the farm, a boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down, and his mother cried as he walked out, "Don't take your guns to town, son, leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." Laughed and kissed his mom and said, "You're Billy Joe's a man. I can shoot as quick and straight as anybody can. But I wouldn't shoot without a cause, I'd gun nobody down." But she cried again as he rolled away, "Don't take your guns to town, son, leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." He sang a song as on he rode, his guns hung at his hips. He rode into a cattle town, a smile upon his lips. He stopped and walked into a bar and laid his money down. But his mother's words echoed again, "Don't take your guns to town, son, leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." He drank his first strong liquor then to calm his shaking hand, and tried to tell himself at last he had become a man. A dusty cowpoke at his side began to laugh him down, and he heard again his mother's words, "Don't take your guns to town, son, leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." Bill with rage, then Billy Joe reached for his gun to draw. But the stranger drew his gun and fired before he even saw. As Billy Joe fell to the floor, the crowd all gathered round and wondered at his final words, "Don't take your guns to town, son, leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town."
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you, because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me calls for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide, because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time. I wear the black for those who've never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why, you think he's talking straight to you and me? Well, we're doing mighty fine, I do suppose, in our streak of lightning cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I wear it for the sick and lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. And I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side. Things that never will be right, I know, and things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. And will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them that I won't be long, and they'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Yeah, we'll meet again. I don't know where, and I don't know when, but I do know that we'll meet again some sunny day. So honey, keep on smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. And would you please say hello to all the folks that I know, and tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Thank you. ever reach the moon, Larry?
Oh, yes, tomorrow, Betty.
You really mean tomorrow?
Well, not quite, but soon.
What will men find there when they reach it?
One thing they will not find is water.
Correct, Bob. But we shall find a fairyland of sharp and strange contrasts. Magnificent lunar mountains rising up 25,000 feet in height. They are interspersed with vast craters, perhaps of volcanic origin, or perhaps caused by the impact of meteors dropped like marbles into thick mud.
Then there are the lunar plains, believed by ancient astronomers to be oceans of water.
But these are dry, aren't they?
Yes. Our astronomers have determined that. There's no water. It's a dead world, frightening but fascinating.
Aside from this, is the moon very different from our Earth?
Well, Virginia, in addition to the absence of water, there is almost a total absence of atmosphere. There's no cooling cloak of air to shield the moon from the terrible heat of the sun. And it may be 200 degrees Fahrenheit or more during the noonday of the moon. The days last 2 weeks of our time. Therefore, you might fry for many hours before the hot noonday peak is passed. And when the long midnight period comes, it may reach a very frigid 200 degrees below zero.
Well, if, as you say, Larry, there's practically no atmosphere on the moon, then there's nothing to carry sound. Therefore, there'd be no sound. Is that right?
Right. Also, no odors. If we met a girl on the moon, she would have no use for perfume, nor much use for language, except the silent language of love. And what she would use for water, only the good Lord knows.
Maybe wine from the gods.
It's a strange land of bright peaks and ink-black valleys, but chiefly it's silent and dead. No weather changes, no rain, no mist, no snow, no movies.
No sleet, no hail, no letters in the mailbox with bills from the income tax collector. The moon has certain advantages of that. Escape.
I think I'll view it all from Mount Palomar. I was out to the observatory there last year, and their new 200-inch reflector brings the moon to within 24 miles of the Earth. That's good enough for me.
Me too.
What you just heard was a little conversation, a teaser on the subject of the moon. The facts, I assure you, are correct. The conversation certainly is appropriate.
Oh, Control. This is Mercury Control.
That's alarm. 1 minute 15 seconds. Missile power, go. RF system, go.
By intelligences greater than man, yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds, as ours are to the beasts in the jungle, intellects vast, cool and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, slowly and surely threw their plans against us. In the 39th year of the 20th century came the Great Disillusionment. Near the end of October, business was better. The war scare was over. More men were back at work. Sales were picking up. On this particular evening, October 30th, the Crosley Service estimated that 32 million people were listening in on radios.
For the next 24 hours, not much change in temperature. A slight atmospheric disturbance of undetermined origin is reported over Nova Scotia, causing a low-pressure area to move down rather rapidly over the northeastern states, bringing a forecast of rain accompanied by winds of light gale force. Maximum temperature 66, minimum 48. This weather report comes to you from the Government Weather Bureau. We take you now to the Meridian Room in the Hotel Park Plaza in downtown New York, where you will be entertained by the music of Raymond Raquello and his orchestra. gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News. At 20 minutes before 8 Central Time, Professor Farrell of the Mount Jennings Observatory, Chicago, Illinois, reports observing several explosions of incandescent gas occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving toward the Earth with enormous velocity. Professor Pearson of the observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame shot from a gun, unquote. We now return you to the music of Ramon Raquello, playing for you in the Meridian Room of the Park Plaza Hotel, situated in downtown New York. Ladies and gentlemen, following on the news given in our bulletin a moment ago, the Government Meteorological Bureau has requested the large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars. Due to the unusual nature of this occurrence, we have arranged an interview with a noted astronomer, Professor Pearson, who will give us his views on this event. In a few moments, we will take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, New Jersey. We return you until then to the music of Ramon Raquello and his orchestra. Ready now to take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, where Carl Phillips, our commentator, will interview Professor Richard Pearson, famous astronomer. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carl Phillips speaking to you from the observatory at Princeton. I'm standing in a large semicircular room, pitch black except for an oblong split in the ceiling. Through this opening, I can see a sprinkling of stars that cast a kind of frosty glow over the intricate mechanism of the huge telescope. Ticking sound you hear is the vibration of the clockwork. Professor Pearson stands directly above me on a small platform, peering through the giant lens. I'll ask you to be patient, ladies and gentlemen, during any delay that may arise during our interview. Besides the ceaseless watch of the heavens, Professor Pearson may be interrupted by telephone or other communications. During this period, he is in constant touch with the astronomical centers of the world. Professor, may I begin our questions?
At any time, Mr. Coates.
Professor, would you please tell our radio audience exactly what you see as you observe the planet Mars through your telescope?
Nothing unusual at the moment, Mr. Phillips. A red disk swimming in a blue sea. Transverse stripes across the disk. Quite distinct now because Mars happens to be at the point nearest the Earth, in opposition, as we call it.
In your opinion, what do these transverse stripes signify, Professor?
Not canals, I can assure you, Mr. Phillips.
Thanks.
Although that's the popular conjecture of those who imagine Mars to be inhabited. From a scientific viewpoint, the stripes are merely the result of atmospheric conditions peculiar to the planet.
Then you're quite convinced, as a scientist, that living intelligence as we know it does not exist on Mars?
I'd say the chances against it are 1,000 to 1.
And yet, how do you account for these gas eruptions occurring on the surface of the planet at regular intervals?
Phillips, I cannot account for it.
Well, by the way, Professor, for the benefit of our listeners, how far is Mars from the Earth?
Approximately 40 million miles.
Well, that seems a safe enough distance. Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Someone has just handed Professor Pearson a message. While he reads it, let me remind you that we are speaking to you from the observatory in Princeton, New Jersey, where we are interviewing the world-famous astronomer, Professor Pearson. One moment, please. Professor Pearson has passed me a message which he has just received. Professor, may I read the message to the listening audience?
Certainly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall read you a wire addressed to Professor Pearson from Dr. Gray of the Natural History Museum, New York. Quote, 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Seismograph registered shock of almost earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles of Princeton. Please investigate. Signed, Lloyd Gray, Chief of Astronomical Division. unquote. Professor Pearson, could this occurrence possibly have something to do with the disturbances observed on the planet Mars?
Hardly, Mr. Phillips. This is probably a meteorite of unusual size, and its arrival at this particular time is merely a coincidence. However, we shall conduct a search as soon as daylight permits.
Thank you, Professor. Ladies and gentlemen, for the past 10 minutes, we've been speaking to you from the observatory at Princeton, bringing you a special interview with Professor Pearson, noted astronomer. This is Carl Phillips speaking. We are returning you now to our New York City.
Im Stress. Doch Major Tom mach deinen Scherz.
Thank you. 7 spacecraft is proceeding to warp right around the Earth. In its second orbit around the Earth. As of 51 minutes after the hour, that's 11:51 Eastern Standard Time, our tracking station in Zanzibar recorded contact with the spacecraft. This is Mercury Control. Our tracking station on Canton Island reports contact with the Friendship 7 spacecraft at 12:31 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our station on Hawaii reports contact at 12:39 Eastern Standard Time. We are continuing to analyze the difficulties with the attitude control system. The fact that the pilot is aboard and has the ability to analyze his problem and take judgmental corrective action is a demonstration of the value of man in spaceflight. This is Mercury Control. The tracking station located at Point Arguello, California, made contact with the spacecraft at 12:46 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Astronaut John Glenn is in voice contact with astronaut Wally and Chirau, the Capcom at the Point Arguello station. And we have made the decision at this time to go for the third orbit. Atlantic tracking ship made contact with the Friendship 7 spacecraft at 1:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Mercury Control. The tracking station on Hawaii contacted the Friendship 7 spacecraft at 2:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As we proceeded around from Australia toward Hawaii, we detected an indication of a problem with the heat shield deployment switch. A check was made over Hawaii, which confirmed that the system was operating properly and that the signal apparently was erroneous. He is also completing now his retro-firing checklist. This is a process by which he makes sure that all of his onboard equipment is secured, that he has checked out his attitude control system, that he is in good condition and preparing to fire those retro rockets to begin that long landing flight toward the Atlantic. This is Mercury Control.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Retro
fire.
Roger. Retros are firing.
Oh, roger, baby.
Contact at 09.
Feels like I'm going back toward Hawaii. Don't do that. You want to go on the east coast.
Retro light is green.
Roger, we got all three here.
I'll tell you, there's no doubt about it when the retro is fire.
This is Texas Capcom Friendship 7. We are recommending that you leave the retro package on through the entire re-entry. This means that you will have to override the 05G switch, which is expected to occur at 044353. This also means that you will have to manually retract the scope. Do you read?
This is Friendship 7. What is the reason for this? Any reason over?
Not at this time. This is the judgment of gate flight.
Mercury Control. The spacecraft Friendship 7 is on the deck. It was set on the deck at 3:04 Eastern Standard Time this afternoon. Astronaut John Glenn reports, "My condition is excellent." He is in continuous contact with the people on the ship. Radio reports from the USS NOAA indicate the hatch is now blown clear. U.S. astronaut John Glenn is on the deck of the USS NOAA, is reported to be a hale and hearty astronaut after his history-making flight. And this is Mercury Control.
Weltweite Kommunikation, ein bildhafter Ausdruck, vermittelt durch das Medium von Klängen.
Kommunikation globale, vos émotions à travers notre son.
Wereldwijde communicatie, gevoelsuitdrukking overgebracht door het medium geluid.
La comunicazione mondiale, l'espressione emozionale trasmessa per mezzo di suono.
Comunicación global, la expresión emocional comunicada por medio del sonido.
Samachar ke sabhi jab duniya se baatein karenge.
Sekai kibo no benta. Oto no baitai o toshi tsukaerareta kandouteki na hyougen.
There isn't a copy of it.